Good morning. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, our text this morning will come out of Matthew, the 25th chapter. As we study the Bible and look at it, we can see examples. It's full of examples about watchfulness for us, the necessity of being watchful, to being prepared and careful each day. And if you think about the teaching of Calvin, he taught the perseverance of the saints, or what we refer to as once saved, always saved. And I think about that and I'm like, well, why all the lessons on perseverance and why all the lessons to overcome if that's an issue, if I'm always saved and I can't lose salvation? Well, and then I can look at the seven churches of Asia in Revelation, and one of the main, not one of the main things, the main thing that is being said is overcome. Overcome the things in the world that are going to distract you from serving God like you need to. Stand in the way of that. And for you and me, every single day, one of the dangers that lurks out there for us are these little things that stand in our way of doing what we need to on a continual basis. It's oftentimes not big stuff. It's little things that get in our way. And those create sometimes the biggest problems for us. And the reason I think that is we ignore them. We act like they're not really problems. And we think that we can have these things going on in our life and that we're still fine, that they don't really stand in the way of anything. So today I want to look out Matthew, the 25th chapter, the 10 virgins here, and look at how this particular parable that Jesus taught has some pertinent to us today. And in Matthew 24:42, he said, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming." And so even in Jesus' own teachings there, he gave that warning himself to be on the alert, to be ready, to make sure that you are prepared for those situations. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 25, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, saying, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered and said, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'" So this parable of the 10 virgins is a continuation of the previous chapter of being ready, being alert, looking out for yourself in this day-to-day life. And in verse 1 here, it says the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And so the church is the bride of Christ. And the bridegroom here is Christ himself in this parable that he's teaching. But the 10 virgins, what do they represent to us in this parable? Well, these are individual believers within the church. And that's the way that we should look at them, as that they're individual believers. And the idea of virgin gives us the understanding that they're pure in their belief. It's not that they're just people that are gathered together. They have purity in their lives, and they are walking uprightly. That's what I think that we should gather when we look at this parable. And yes, the scriptures do call them the foolish, but it also puts them in this category of the church and what it took for them to get there. So This part here, I think, is important in representing our daily lives. It's our physical walk. What are we doing in our daily life, and how are we making preparation for whatever day or hour the Lord would return? So, they all appear the same when you first see this here, right? Other than verse 1, 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom, they all look the same to you and I. But when I look at the words foolish, it means dull, insipid, flat, dull in understanding, nonsensical. So that's kind of the Greek interpretation there of foolish. And then the prudent, it properly means how we size things up, reflecting our personal opinions, what we consider savvy or smart. So you have prudent who are looking at the whole situation and they make preparation, and then you have the foolish that it means that they're a little dull. They haven't really thought this whole process through like they should have. So the contrast here is just one of insight. How do you take your daily walk? How do I take my daily walk? Am I viewing things that are dangerous to me? Am I looking at things in my life that I should be? Or am I just kind of going through? And what do I apply in my daily walk to be prepared for things? So what's the difference in these prudent and foolish virgins? It's just readiness. It's just being prepared. The term alert in verse 13, it says, be on the alert then. That word there has the meaning of vigilant, responsible, or watchful. And, you know, I read a lot of history books, and I think about in the Pacific theater during World War II, there's just so many examples and instances where these soldiers who have been fighting on these islands, they're just dog-tired, they're hungry, they don't have any reinforcements. The enemy has been all day fighting them. They've had buddies that have been killed, they may be wounded, and they've all been in these foxholes, and two guys per foxhole, and one guy was supposed to be awake, and the other guy was trying to just get a few minutes of sleep, and they would trade off like this. And there's so many recorded instances of one of the guys, or the guy who's supposed to be awake, watchful, alert, he slips into a little bit of a sleep, and some Japanese has infiltrated the lines, and he gets in there and he kills both of them. And you think, well, he's just tired. I mean, it's justifiable. I mean, the guy is dog tired. But see, he wasn't vigilant, and he wasn't being responsible, and he wasn't watchful. And in that situation, it cost them their physical lives. Not just him, but it also cost his foxhole buddy his life as well. And so when he says to us to be on the alert, that's what he's telling us. There's something lurking out there that's dangerous. He's not just saying, hey, stay awake during worship services. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about looking at your life, at all the things that could creep in, especially when you're tired and unaware. Little things. So the five foolish took no oil with them. But it says in verse 5, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. So verse 4 says the prudent took oil in their flasks along with the lamps. But the verse 3 tells us that the foolish ones did not bring any oil with them. Now, you think about this. You forget to bring your oil. Is that a big deal? It's a little deal, right? It's not a big thing in life. We all forget things. Get to work sometimes, you forgot to take your driver's license with them. You know, take your wallet, whatever. Not a big deal. We get through it. But that's not the analogy being made here. What he's saying is, yeah, it's not a big deal. But in this circumstance, it becomes a major issue. So it's just a physical metaphor that he's giving us here for readiness. In Ephesians 6:13, Paul tells us there, one of the things that you and I need to do on a daily basis. And he says, therefore take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. And of course, when you read that whole thing, he tells us what the full armor of God is. But he's giving us another metaphor of a soldier who's getting ready for combat. And each of those pieces of armor has a place. They have something that helps protect them, prepare them, ready them for what they're about to face. And these five foolish virgins, they forgot, didn't think about, hey, maybe I should bring a little flask of oil. Because you know what? They came to this wedding feast fully prepared. They got an invitation. They fully intended on being there. They intended on participating. You know what they weren't prepared for? Waiting. They weren't prepared to wait. And you know, sometimes we're pretty strong in the moment. And we think, boy, if Jesus were to come right now, I feel good. Our faith is where it needs to be. But are you prepared to wait? Are all the little things in life going to slowly creep back in if it doesn't happen just right now? Do those little things start impacting how you feel and what you do? Do you think about the importance of God's Word and it being fluid in your life at all times, and that faith being active? Because that's what he's telling us here. You know, in Luke, the 10th chapter, here's another example of this, little things. And, you know, each one of us, and I know that sometimes we do things and we have things that we're planning and we think that they're really important, and we go about getting ready for those things, but there's a time and a place for everything. And for these five foolish virgins, the place and the time was this wedding feast, and the preparation was get what you need to be there. So in Luke, the 10th chapter, we can see here, beginning down in verse 38, it says, "Now as they were traveling along," this is Jesus, "he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now you look at this parable, and maybe you haven't made the association here, but Martha is one of the foolish virgins. Here she is, industrious. She's putting together a meal. She's trying to get everything done, setting the table, making sure that everything's where it needs to be. And here's Mary just sitting, listening to Jesus talk. And look at what he tells her. He says, "Martha, you're letting all these little things get in the way of what you need to be paying attention to." And you know, sometimes we do the same thing here. We worry about what we're going to do when services are over. And we've got our mind occupied, and we head for the door as soon as things are out, and we let little things in life get in the way of what we should be focusing on, what we should be thinking about, and what we should be doing. And it's just little stuff. It's not really important things. I mean, so what if the table didn't get set right, right? And he's telling her, he said, "Your sister," he says, "you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." You see, he's talking about a spiritual person in a spiritual journey here. And he's saying, when you prepare to serve God, It comes from within. It's a heart-driven activity. It changes everything about your focus and what's important, not just now, but always. And he's saying, Martha, you're worried about something that's just going to take place. It's an event that's only going to take a few minutes. Mary's worried about something that's going to last for eternity. These five virgins who took no oil, they were worried about the event, and they were prepared for the event, but they weren't prepared for that event taking any turns along the way. They prepared for what they thought was going to come, and that's all they were ready for. And you see, that same thing can affect you and me. We can be prepared to serve God only within the limitations of what we think service includes. So many times, little things stand in our way, and we so often focus on things which really don't matter, and we prepare, we neglect to make the proper preparation to meet God and to walk with God. So in this parable here, verse 6, it says that the bridegroom returns at midnight, and it says that there's a shout. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And then look at what happens in verse 7. Things are looking pretty good to me. It says, "Then all those virgins, all 10 of them, they rose and trimmed their lamps." You see, they were there for the right reason, right? They had made, it seems like, a reasonable preparation for the event. And the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But not really. They just didn't think about the whole situation. In Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, the writer here, the preacher, he says in verse 3, no, it doesn't. It says, fortunately, I wrote the verse down, so I have it here. It says, "Moreover, a man does not know his time. Like fish caught in a treacherous net and birds trapped in a snare, so the sons of men are ensnared at an evil time when it suddenly falls on them." So man doesn't really know his time. We think we do. We think that we'll grow old and that old age will catch up with us one day and that will be the end. But the writer here of Ecclesiastes is saying, you don't really know when your time is. He says, you're like a fish that's going to be caught in a treacherous net. Well, that's exactly what we see happening in Matthew 25, is that these virgins, these five foolish virgins, they made preparation, but they didn't make preparation for all events. They thought they had the situation at hand. They thought they were prepared, but they didn't plan for the unknown. They were worried about little things and not the right things. And they didn't prepare with the right things. So, you know, we come to worship here on the first day of the week. Do we take time to prepare in advance? And I'm not talking about just worship on Sundays. Do we take time to prepare for class? Do we know what the topic's going to be? Have we read ahead? We're trying to get our head right into the study. This is for our benefit. It's to help us grow. Do we make sure activities of the previous day don't get in the way of what we're doing today? Or the activities of this afternoon don't get in the way of our focusing on what God would have us to do right now? Does the life that we live occupy so much of our thoughts in our minds that we're missing the important aspect of why we come together to encourage, to edify, to build up, to remember our Lord and Savior? The whole reason is this event of worshiping together, building faith, or are little things standing in the way? Are we leaving our flask of oil at home, not making full preparation for the reason that we worship God every day. All 10 virgins, on hearing the shout of the arrival of the bridegroom, they all arose. They all started getting ready for his coming. Some of them weren't prepared for the things that came that day. They made minimal plans. They thought, well, we'll show up like we were invited. We'll be ushered in. We'll go to this wedding feast. We'll meet the bridegroom. They made no preparation beyond the immediate. You know, Brian talks about this a lot in sermons that he preaches about our life reflecting the words that God has given us, the things he's told us to do. It's not something that, it's not like a coat that we take off when we get into a warm building. This is something that we wear all the time. It's a preparation that should be part of our life at all times. In Psalms, the 37th chapter, there's this psalm a couple of times it talks about waiting on the Lord. And that this idea of waiting is being expectant, convicted of the things that we know and that we believe. In Psalms 37, verse 7, it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes." And then he says in verse 9, he says, "For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land." When you look up this word wait in Hebrew, it talks a little bit about being completely tangled up in it. It becomes who we are. It is our whole purpose. You can't really separate yourself from the activity of serving God. That's what Christianity should be to you and me. That's what faith should be happening in our life, is we're completely tangled up in God's word. We can't get away from it. Is that how you feel? Do you feel like you're just tangled up with his word? It's constantly holding you where you need to be? It's not in a negative sense. This is in a positive sense, just waiting. And here, I think, is really a huge point of this whole lesson in Matthew 25. So it comes in verse 8 here. "So the five foolish virgins go to the five who have made preparation. And they say, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" Now think about this. What just happened there? He's talking about the church. He's talking about brethren within the church here. That's what those 10 virgins represent, are individual members of the church. And you have five that come to the others and they said, "Hey, we're not prepared." You know what he's telling you? They can't fix your problems for you. They can't do for you what you have to do for yourself. You know, sometimes we hear the phrase sound church, sound congregation. If you think about it, a sound church, and Angela will tell you, I have a little bit of struggle with when we use those types of phrases, because all a sound church is sound members. And usually what that means is there's members in that congregation who see error and they take charge and they try to push it out. And they see issues or needs and they take care of filling those needs. But what he's saying there is that, hey, if you want to be a sound church, then 10 people need to be doing that, not five. That's what he's saying. All 10 of you need to get out there and do something to be a sound church. There's five sound people here. Not 10. If we're going to walk with God, then we need to walk the walk that he has given us and not depend on others to fill it, because I can't do anything for your salvation when you come through those doors other than encourage and edify. And you can't do anything for me, for my salvation, other than encourage and edify. But I can't bring you a flask of oil to get ready for the marriage feast. That's what he's telling you. You need to prepare because you don't know when the hour is going to come. And even when I go to Revelation, the third chapter, and we've looked at this and we talked about this as we've studied Revelation, but this particular congregation strikes me. So he says in verse 1 of chapter 3, Revelation 3, chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." Now he's writing to the church, and he says, you have a name that you're alive, but you as a church, you're dead. And then you go down here to verse 4, and he says, "But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Those are the five prudent virgins right there. That's what he's told you. There's 10, there's 5 who are worthy, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So we can't stand in here and hope that somebody's going to fill our lack. We have to be involved in serving God. We have to be involved in our own preparation. We have to be alert at every time, at all times. I've heard this. I heard it since I've been a young person. I used to hear it with other young people that wanted to sow their wild oats and live the life they wanted to live. And they used to say, well, I'll get to that later in life, serving God. And all they're saying is that I'm just ill-prepared. And I'm knowingly ill-prepared. And they're thinking that the time will come when I'll have the opportunity to change that. But we don't know when our time is going to come. And we don't know if we'll ever have the opportunity beyond right now, between right this moment, to change who we are and what we are. So are you prepared to meet the bridegroom? Are you prepared right now to meet the bridegroom? Or are little things standing in the way of that? And when you walk out the door today, will you still be wearing that preparation? That white robe? Verses 10 and 12 of that chapter here. Matthew 25. He says, "And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered and said, Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." What a sad testimony. They came to the wedding feast. They had lived a good life. They had lived a pure life. They'd done things that were right, but they didn't make preparation in their life because they let little things get in the way, and they were turned away at the end. That's the message of the 10 virgins. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but that's what he's telling us. There's no once saved, always saved. Nobody can do it for you. And even though you're trying to walk right today, if you don't maintain that and you don't wait expectantly for God, you could be turned away at the last hour. Now, I don't normally preach lessons that talk about this sober aspect of it, but that's what Jesus is telling us right there. He's telling us to be alert at all times, to be ready at all times, to keep our lives in order at all times. Because no one knows the day nor the hour. Be ready. Don't let the little things get in the way of your salvation. If there's any here today who has anything that they need to make known for prayers, then we invite you. If there's anyone who needs to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, then this invitation is yours. As together we stand and we sing.